Let's come together for prayer. Almighty God, after hearing the word this morning, we just ask that your Spirit will come upon us, will speak to us in our hearts, and move us in ways that will draw us closer to you. I ask, Lord, that your Spirit will be upon me and within me as I share the message that you've placed on my heart this week. Amen. This morning, on this third Sunday in Lent, we continue our walk with Jesus towards the city of Jerusalem and the events of Holy Week. It's a challenging journey as we engage in personal reflection on our relationship with Christ and with each other. Perhaps nothing makes it more of a sore spot than when we ponder the suffering Jesus endured as he hung on that hideous instrument of death, the cross. We can't help but look at the cross and be reminded of why Jesus suffered and died. At least that's what we assume. Yet assumptions are not always the reality. Has the cross, a symbol Christians cherish and have taken on as a sign of their faith, lost its meaning? Sometimes the advice that we get from the world signs can be somewhat pointless. The Road Trip America website shows photos of some of the funny signs you can find across America, some with pretty pointless advice. For example, a sign over a motel in Las Vegas that reads, "Highly recommended by owner." A sign in Byhalia, Mississippi, "Road unsafe when underwater." A sign over a store in Sun Valley, Nevada, where everything is for $1 or more. A sign at a Walmart in Springfield, Missouri, two for $3, was $1.50. A sign in Estes Park, Colorado, "In case of flood, climb to safety." And yes, a sign at a store in Tipton, Indiana, "Eat here and get gas." A sign in the Blue Mountains of Walla Walla, Washington, "Caution, no signs for the next 3 miles." No warning signs, excuse me, for the next 3 miles. Some signs are necessary to communicate important and reliable information. Take the road signs, for example, as stop signs, or how about that good one, the yield sign? Yet some signs, including road signs, get ignored for their meaning. It has been forgotten. One of those signs for me, as I think of it, not for me, but as I observe other people's behavior, is that yield sign. I think it's lost its meaning. Instead of slowing down, perhaps even stopping to give way to the main flow of traffic, it seems that that sign communicates, "Speed up and push your way out into traffic without regard to anyone else." As you might be able to tell, that's a pet peeve of mine. Christians have an important sign, the cross. We see them everywhere. Lots of people wear one as a piece of jewelry around their necks. We see them on shirts that people wear. I've seen them used as ornaments in yards, and even in fields. The cross has become so abundant that it's sadly blended into the part of the background of our subconscious mind. Sometimes it takes a fresh look at a sign or a symbol to understand what it really means. And there is perhaps no symbol that has been taken for granted more than the cross. In the Roman world of the first century, wearing a cross around your neck would have been the equivalent of promoting the electric chair. You might as well wear a decorated hangman's noose around your neck. In this book, The Cross of Christ, John Stott points out that the earliest surviving picture of the crucifixion is a mockery. It's an ancient piece of graffiti dating from the second century found on the Palatine Hill in Rome and on the wall of a house considered by some scholars to have been used as a school for imperial pages. The crude drawing depicts, stretched on a cross, a man with the head of a donkey. To the left stands another man with arm raised in worship. Unevenly scribbled beneath are the words, Alexamenos, worships God. The cartoon is now in the Criterion Museum in Rome. It was the concept of the worshiping a crucified man, which was being held up to derision. It's a curious thing to wonder if the cross one wears really has any meaning to the person wearing it. Many of the crosses we own are made to look beautiful, but the cross that Jesus was nailed to was anything but beautiful. It was rough and ugly. It was a symbol of shame. Only the worst criminals were crucified on a cross. That was until Jesus was nailed to it. It was all of humanity's sin that put him there, not anything that he did wrong. The early Christians, however, adopted the cross as a sign of the active triumph of their God over the power of sin and death. And it caused a major change to the sign of the cross. It became a symbol of salvation for Christians. At the time when Paul was writing this letter to the Corinthians, there were two old signs that tried to point to salvation. First, for the Jews, it was the sign of the Messiah. And the Messiah himself would do incredible and miraculous things, great signs that would be observed to prove that he was the anointed importance, the anointed king of Israel, the savior of Israel. And this is the reason that the religious leaders kept asking Jesus for signs, wanting him to prove his power, to prove whether he was the Messiah. For the pagans of the day, on the other hand, salvation was all about health and wealth in this lifetime, and no real hope for anything after this lifetime. A long life, a prosperous life, was the best that anyone could hope to obtain. These, my friends, are not foreign ideas in the times that we are living in, are they? People still want God to send signs, even perform miracles that he cares, to prove that he cares for them, to prove his existence, and to prove his worthiness of our devotion. Also, health and wealth are still viewed as they really matter in this life. They're the most important thing. It's viewed as proof that someone has really made it in life, of course, on their own. They put all of their confidence in what is immediate and in what gives them wealth and prosperity. The cross for these folks is merely a symbol of simple-mindedness and foolishness. The Apostle Paul wrote, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." When Christians look at or even wear a cross, it's the sign that reminds us that God has provided us with salvation, a place for us in his kingdom. Paul goes on to write, "God has made foolish the wisdom of the world." What was considered a hideous and pathetic symbol is now the sign that saved those who believe these things. The ancient sign of death became the sign of life. So how do we recover and foster the symbol of the cross in a world where the cross has become a fashion accessory and a sign that is often ignored? First, the powerful sign of the cross has to take on new life. It needs to inspire and motivate us deep within. The people for whom it has meaning, it needs to move them to action. Those who have been saved through the grace and power of God, living a life of obedience to God, humbly serving and generously loving others, are the best sign of the cross. On the stern and rock-bound New England coast, there lived a little brother and sister that frequently played among the rocks along the shore. One day, one of them discovered a natural formation among the rocks. Above them, it resembled a cross. After that, they took great delight in filling the crevices that shaped the cross with grass and sticks and setting it on fire to see the beautiful display that it made, the symbol of the cross. As the years passed, the girl remained at the old homestead, but the boy went away to seek his fortune. And one stormy winter night, he returned on a visit to the old home, and he told his sister that he had seen signals from a ship in distress out at sea. Neither of them knew of any way to help the distressed sailors, but presently the sister remembered that old cross in the rocks. So she gathered a large armful of wood and kindling and quickly went to that spot. She filled in all the crevices as in the earlier days, and then she set that stuff on fire, and there the cross glowed. In a short time, the light of the blaze was shining out through the storm, and one of the sailors who had been cheering his comrades on and urging them not to give up cried out, "The cross! See the light from the yonder cross? It will guide us to safety." They got in the lifeboats and they pulled toward the flaming cross. They found the faithful girl that day who had remained out in that storm and cold to feed the fire, lying on the shore, frozen to death. She had given her life to direct them to the cross. She took on the cross herself. Likewise, we demonstrate Christ and salvation that he offers, best not by the jewelry that we wear, but through our words and actions. It requires that we admit first our own spiritual weakness and allow God's grace, allow Christ's Spirit to flow through us, to meet us, to touch others. Yet the cross has offered salvation Or yes, the cross has offered to us salvation individually, but you know what? It's also a sign for us, a way to live, as it creates us to be a cross-shaped community. Paul's letter to the Corinthians was written to address divisions in that church, which muddy the message of the cross to the world. Instead of quarreling and creating division, we are to be united in the same mind and the same purpose, not necessarily agreeing on everything, but agreeing to come together, to love one another, to work together, to be the church. That's the uniting factor. We are to be united in the same mind and the same purpose. The early church thrived in the Roman world because it continued to live the life of the cross, despite ridicule, despite criticism, despite persecution, despite their differences. You can read all about that in Acts 2, 42 through 47. In a world that's becoming ever more divided, even within the church, the sign of the cross must once again become the sign that reminds us that it's not about us. It's not about you and me, but it's about God and what He has done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. The cross is the sign that allows us to abandon our posturing of individual strength and invites us to become part of a community whose strength is always found in weakness. At the heart of the city of London is Charing Cross. All distances across the city are measured from its central point. Locals refer to it simply as the cross. One day, a child became lost in the bustling metropolis, and a city police officer, or as they would call them, a bobby, came to the child's aid to try and help him return to his family. The bobby asked the child a variety of questions in an attempt to discover where the boy lived, to no avail. Finally, with tears streaming down the boy's face, he said, "If you'll take me to the cross, I think I can find my way from there." What an apt description of the Christian life. The cross is both the starting place of our new life in Christ, but also the place that we must return to time and again. And again, to keep our bearings in life. When the sign of the cross becomes part of our person, then the person of Christ will change our direction from wandering out there in our world in the dark, in a meaningless and lost life. And it will boost us into a life and into the world with new strength. Lift high the cross. Lift high the cross, the symbol of your salvation.